Blog Talk Radio.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Oh, I'm going to a city, it lies four square. The gates are made of jasper, and I'll see Jesus there. I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be.
Hello, everybody. God bless you today. This is Susan Puzio, and I want to welcome you to the Prophetic News radio broadcast on Blog Talk Radio. Now we're broadcasting 10 and a half years, and we thank the Lord for that. And we've had over 700,000 visitors to our radio broadcast in these many years. So we thank God for that. And we thank the Lord that people are listening and taking heed, because truly the beginning of sorrows is upon us. Like, we never thought we'd ever see anything like what's going on in the world today. So we just need God more than ever right now. As bizarre as everything is, when you wake up in the morning, everything seems normal, right? Until you read the news, until you see the news, and then you go out and you see people walking around. They have to wear masks now, which is a good idea, really, because the fact that this virus spreads from people breathing. Actually, they say it can come from people breathing. Oh, dear. You can catch it from breathing. And then they're saying you can get it from swimming in the ocean. Dear, did we ever think in our life we would ever see anything like this? And it's so hard to believe what's happening. So we need to trust the Lord and try to get through this, right? It rains on the just and the unjust, so we'll get through it. And we need all the strength we can muster right now, because I can see how people that don't know God could really get depressed. They could really fall into a deep depression because they're not working. They have bills to pay. They probably don't have any savings. They have debts. They have a car payment. They have a rent payment, or they have a mortgage payment, and they have to buy food. And you know how expensive food is. And they have to put gas in their cars, and they have to pay their electric bill and their water bill and their garbage bill and their car insurance and their house insurance. And there's so many things that you have to pay, and they're not working. So even the government subsidy, and the government's printing money like it's going out of style, spending trillions of dollars on bailouts. And of course, the American people need help right now. And the churches are really the ones that are supposed to be helping the people, but there's no, they say bring all the tithes into the storehouse, but then there's no meat in the house, because most of the false prophets are crying that they don't have any money, the money's drying up. And so it's like my friend was saying, where's the beef, right? Where's the beef? And so where's all the tithes? Where's the storehouse when there's nothing in store? And people are desperate today, probably like some of these people have never been so desperate in their lives. So what's going to happen if this thing dies down? Will it ever die down? Because it's such a crazy virus, and there'll be more crime than you've ever seen, probably. So we need to be vigilant and to pray for the Lord to protect us, because it is truly an eye-opening experience, I think. And I can't believe it myself, really. I cannot believe what I'm seeing and what's happening. They say that half of the world is in lockdown. That's hard to believe. Now, in Florida, the governor of our state has put us under a lockdown. I guess it is a mandatory lockdown, but they're allowing you to go out to the grocery store, and they're allowing, now they say where before they say you couldn't attend a church service of more than 10 people. And of course, they weren't trying to take away anybody's First Amendment right or their constitutional rights to assemble. That's fine if you want to assemble. But when there's a pandemic and there's a virus that's this crazy, and I'm going to play a clip here of a news story about Rodney Howard Brown. Of course, he was arrested last Monday because there was an order in place in his county, Hillsborough County, Florida, and they told him that he couldn't assemble, or no church could assemble, or mosque or whatever could assemble, because they couldn't have more than 10 people. And anyway, he went against what the government was telling him to do, and he had his services anyway. And the crazy people over there at his church, they came. There was probably 400 or 500 people in his building last week, and he's telling them that they're not going to get the coronavirus here. They might get it somewhere else, but they're not going to get it there. It's like, how stupid can you get? A friend of mine was saying, and he was so right when he said this, that he actually got his people to drink the Kool-Aid. And in case some people don't know what drinking the Kool-Aid is, the maniac Jim Jones, who called himself a pastor at one time, and he took his people to Guyana, and he had a cult, and they were so paranoid about the government that in the end, when this congressman, I think his name was Ryan, he went to visit this cult group there to see what was going on, because there was American citizens there that their relatives were concerned about them. So he went there to see for himself what was going on so he could come back and report what he found. Anyway, he wound up getting murdered. They murdered him before he could even get on his plane, Jim Jones's henchmen. And then Jim Jones, in his paranoia, got his people to drink Kool-Aid laced with cyanide, and 900 people were killed along with their children. They drank the Kool-Aid like he told them to do. So it's a comparison to what Rodney Howard Brown and any other church leader would tell people to jeopardize themselves. When there's this kind of a virus, and it's not a conspiracy. I mean, it's real. People are dying, and people are getting so sick. The worst pneumonia, if there's anybody out there that ever had the flu is bad enough. Pneumonia is even worse if there's anybody out there that ever had pneumonia. You don't want pneumonia. You don't ever want to have the flu again. And you catch these things from other people. So they were only telling people not to go to church or to assemble, not because they were trying to instill martial law and it was in the government was doing all kinds of things. What are you going to do? What are we going to do about the book of Revelation? You're not going to stop it. You're not going to stop the Antichrist. You're not going to stop what's going to happen in the end times. You're not going to stop it. So what are you going to do? You're going to rise up and rebel. You can't fight the government. You can, okay, I understand your constitutional rights. Yes, we should definitely have our constitutional rights. And if they want to assemble, let them assemble. If they're that crazy, let them do it. So the government, the governor of Florida rescinded the order and said that churches were essential and now they can meet. And so if people want to go and they're that stupid to go into a building and sit 1 foot away from somebody, and you don't only get it from coughing and sneezing. You get it from people singing, which they do. And when you sing, you spit. When you talk, you spit. So how stupid can you be? Anyway, now he's going to be able to have his services, and he's claiming that he, Rodney Howard Brown, that he's won this battle against the county and the sheriff, and he's going, and he, and who knows, there may be a lawsuit to follow that his constitutional rights were violated. So, but the proper thing to say, any pastor or any shepherd that would want to protect the people in his congregation would say, look, we have a First Amendment right to assemble, and that is our right. But to protect ourselves from this virus, this pandemic that's affecting the whole world, we will not be assembling. We will have an online service. Anybody can stream online. You can stream online for free on YouTube. You can stream on Facebook. Anybody can stream online with a limited amount of equipment. Say, we're going to do it that way to protect you and to protect your children, not to demand that. I'm going to fill my building with 500 people, and I don't care what you say, and I'm going to tell my people, just like any good cult leader, you can come here and you won't get the virus. How stupid can you be? Oh, honestly, I can't believe the stupidity of some people and the stupidity of the so-called Christians that are going over there and exposing themselves to this thing. You don't know who has this virus. They're saying that you could be a carrier and you'll never have a symptom and you could transmit it to other people. So just because you don't hear somebody coughing and sneezing next to you, that doesn't mean that they don't have the virus. And if they turn to you and open their mouth to talk to you, they're kind of spit on you. I don't care who it is, but I'm going to see more of this type of thing that, to prove a point against the big government, we're going to assemble. We don't care about any epidemic or any pandemic. We're just going to do what we want. Well, that's just stupidity. Of course, now, like I said, we don't want to lose our constitutional rights, which we're going to lose eventually anyway, if we're here for the tribulation. I don't know when we're going out of here. Okay, I know we're going out of here, but I don't know when we're going out of here, and I don't argue with people about when the tribulation is going to start. This is tribulation right now. Now, this is probably not the great tribulation, but this is tribulation. This is a little glimpse into what tribulation can be or what it's like. So Did you ever think that within a matter of weeks, almost every business would be shut down in the United States of America, that you didn't really feel comfortable traveling? You don't even like to go to the grocery store because you don't know who's going to be coughing and sneezing at the store. So did you ever think, maybe 2 months ago that anything like this would happen? No. So we just don't know. We just don't know. They can confess and decree and declare all they want. So far, listening to some of these prophets or so-called prophets, none of them predicted this thing. None of them. They didn't see it coming. For all the prophet so-and-so and the doctor so-and-so, they didn't predict it. So you just don't know. God is sovereign. He's on the throne. None of these people sit on a throne. None of them are God. None of them are all-knowing. They don't know all things. And they but sometimes, really, it's all about the money. It's all about the money. And they're all crying the blues because they don't have bodies in a chair or a pew that they can manipulate. It's easier to manipulate people when they're sitting in front of you, and you can cry and beg and promise all kinds of things that they're going to get if they give some money here. Well, look at all the tithing and all the seed sowing and all the prophecies about the breakthroughs and the jubilees. And how many people are out of work? How many businesses are hurting right now? And it's not just non-believers that are going through this. It's Christians. It's Christians too. They're going through it just like everybody else. Just like everybody else. So here, I'm going to play this clip. And it's about a pastor, or he calls himself a pastor. I wouldn't say he's a pastor because he doesn't care about his sheep. This Tony Spell, and about Rodney Howard Brown. This clip's about 7 minutes long, so let's listen to it.
People are the church, not the building.
It's a warm spring evening in Louisiana. And parishioners are gathering to worship at Life Tabernacle Church just outside Baton Rouge. The church's head pastor, Tony Spell, welcomes his congregants.
We are the Good Samaritans, the good, faithful members of this church.
But in recent days, Pastor Spell has come under fire, standing in defiance of Louisiana's stay-at-home order by holding services.
We continue to worship and practice our First Amendment rights.
This past Sunday, Pastor Spell says more than 1,200 people gathered at his church. Some congregants were even busted. His sermon was live streamed and recorded by Central City News. But with the number of COVID-19 cases in Louisiana skyrocketing, some in the neighborhood were furious.
They have a right to, baby. Y'all need to shut down.
The Central Police Department says Spell is in violation of the state order.
Mr. Spell has chosen to embarrass us for his own self-promotion.
We're here today because of violations of the governor's emergency order.
Yesterday morning, Spell was arrested. Hours later, he was right back at it, holding service again.
To my church and to the 9,800 people who come through my doors, do not be intimidated to come to this building because of fear that has been put in you.
The number of COVID-19 cases in our country continues to soar. About 3 out of 4 Americans are under restrictions to stay home. The president has extended nationwide social distancing guidelines through April 30th. And at yesterday's coronavirus task force briefing, Dr. Anthony Fauci yet again stressed the administration's main message, social distancing.
People are suffering. People are dying. It's inconvenient from a societal standpoint, from an economic standpoint to go through this. But this is going to be the answer to our problems.
But that hasn't stopped some people from going to crowded places and ignoring the distancing rules, forcing local and state governments to crack down, issuing fines, breaking up parties, and conducting highway patrols. In Rhode Island, they're even checking license plates to warn people from out of state to quarantine at arrest.
No turning back!
This live stream video posted to YouTube shows hundreds of people packed inside the River at Tampa Bay Church, a megachurch in Florida, last Sunday.
People are going totally crazy, and I'm telling you right now, this thing, we got to pray that God pull us out of this thing quickly.
Pastor Rodney Howard Brown held services despite a ban on non-essential businesses, and the Hillsborough County Sheriff's Office took action.
His reckless disregard for human life put hundreds of people in his congregation at risk and thousands of residents who may interact with them this week in danger.
The pastor was arrested and charged. Today he announced he will be shutting down the church this Sunday. His attorney, Matt Staver, says the county's emergency order is unconstitutional.
We will be filing a lawsuit against not only the sheriff, but also this executive order, because it has so many exceptions, it looks like Swiss cheese. Our constitutional rights don't disappear in the time of a virus, a crisis, or any other emergency that we have. We don't just simply erase our Constitution.
This is a complicated issue for a lot of people. For people of faith, religious services aren't a luxury. In many states, liquor stores are open. And many people of faith look at that and they say, well, if liquor stores are considered essential services, certainly religious services for a lot of people are essential.
Well, we have to remember that houses of worship are typically crowded. People are very close together. There's a lot of talking, singing, close contact, handshaking, hugging, kissing. Those are all things that need to be avoided now.
Case studies show religious gatherings in several countries have been the source of outbreaks before, not just in the U.S. The concern for large gatherings stems from how easily COVID-19 spreads. Back in early March, a choir from Washington State held a practice even as the state was grappling with infections and deaths at a Seattle area nursing home.
We were aware that it was spreading, but we didn't know how fast.
The choir went ahead with its weekly rehearsal and took extra precautions. Only about half the choir showed up.
We said that anyone that had any kind of pre-existing conditions or even the sniffles should not come to this rehearsal. Nobody shook hands, nobody hugged.
We set up folding chairs for our rehearsals with three times the distance between chairs as we normally have.
Everything seemed fine until 3 days later.
I just had a fever and body aches, and I lost my sense of taste and smell.
I got a fever of 101.6, and my husband got a fever.
Now, 3 weeks later, 45 members of the choir have been diagnosed with COVID-19 or became ill with symptoms. At least three have been hospitalized. Two are dead. The choir director says even when bigger groups think they're doing everything right, there is still a danger.
The precautions that we took and the guidelines that we followed were not enough.
The theories about why so many people got sick from that one choir practice involved the possibility that there was a super spreader. The other theory is that the virus can spread more than 6 feet with the respiratory droplets that are projected in the course of singing. The third theory is that someone or multiple people could have been there and been completely asymptomatic, not known that they were infected with coronavirus.
To demonstrate how one gathering could have a massive impact, a company called Tectonix released this graphic illustration. It tracks the cell phone data footprint of a single beach in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, during 2 weeks of spring break last month. It then shows how those cell phones move as people traveled home, lighting up in locations all over the country, revealing just how easy wide dispersal could be during a pandemic. So far, Pastor Tony Spell says there's been no indication any of his congregants are ill.
I don't know anybody that has flu symptoms connected with anyone in our church.
They've been doing temperature checks at the door before service. But health experts say that's not enough.
Flattening the curve, to be clear, is about actions that we can take that benefit other people. in some ways, it's the most spiritual and the most faith-based act that someone can do.
There is an ancient African proverb, when you pray, move your feet. The prayer of many doctors and nurses across America tonight to people of all faiths, worship from home.
That's a good idea, especially worship from home. If you have nutcases like this as your so-called pastor, that's what I have to say. It's just ridiculous. Here's the story of this choir. Oh yeah, they took all the precautions. We weren't going to let anybody in if they had a pre-existing condition. We're going to have our prior practice anyway. This was March, I think, 15th when they had it. Over 46 people got the coronavirus. Now two people are dead just because they had to have a choir practice. So they didn't know if anybody had it, but they were singing and talking. So that's how easy this thing can spread. This is no joke. And it's very, very frustrating to have this kind of testimony going out to people that there's these people that call themselves Christians and they call themselves pastors are just acting like fools for everybody to see. Now, Rodney was arrested and he bailed himself out. Well, the bail was only $500 and it's two misdemeanors, but I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know if the courts are closed now, of course, and there's such a backlog. So who knows what happens, but he should spend some time in jail. I think it would do him some good. So you're not God and you don't have control over people's lives. Okay, the people came there anyway, despite knowing what kind of danger they were putting themselves into. And then they have, if they have children, they have to go home to their children. Oh, it's just ridiculous, the whole thing. It's unbelievable. But no man can tell you that you're not going to get anything. How many of us in our lives, our lifetime, caught something from somebody else? I think probably every single one of us. When we were children, we caught the measles from somebody else that got the measles, or you got the chicken pox. So you know how easy it is to catch things from other people. And I don't care how careful people try to be. I think I was saying something, I might have said something a couple weeks ago about when I went to the grocery store. And it's a real nice grocery store. It's Publix, I'm going to say the name, the Publix grocery store. And you think it's a real clean store and everything. So I go in and there's a shopping cart to the left that you get your cart. I never touch the cart anyway. I always bring a plastic bag that I got from my groceries and I wrap the bag around the cart. I don't take the wipe and wipe it and then put my hand on it. I cover it. And I did this before because I knew just from studying that a virus could live on a surface for 24 to 36 hours. That's any surface. That's before coronavirus. A lot of times that's how the flu got spread. Somebody sneezed in their hand and then they put their hand on a surface and then somebody else came and touched it. And so that's how they caught something. So I go into the store and they have a towel and they're wiping down, they're dipping the towel into a bucket and then they're wiping down the shopping carts with the same rag over and over again. I'm like, oh dear Lord. So I said to the guy, why aren't you using a disposable, something disposable? And he said, oh, we wash these rags every hour. I'm like, oh no. I said, I don't go to my neighbor's house and get their old rags that they use for cleaning their house and wash them and then come and ask any woman if she would go and use somebody else's rags to clean her house. And she would tell you, no way. And I was like, I don't believe this whole thing. So I went and talked to the manager, and one of the managers was a lady, and I said to her, I said, this is ridiculous. We're having a pandemic. You know, it's nice that you're trying to clean off the carts, but that's not going to do any good is to reuse the rag. So the next time I went back there, they took what I said to heart, and they were spraying the cart handles, and then they were wiping them off with a paper towel and throwing it away. But another store, like a mile away from my house, I talked to the manager. He was a man. And I said the same thing to him because they were doing the same thing there. And he said to me, oh, it's okay. We're dipping it in sanitizing liquid. And then when I went back a few days later, they were still doing it. So he didn't take what I said to heart. But that's why you don't know. You can think, oh, Rodney Howard Brown says, oh, everybody that comes in, we give them hand sanitizer. And that church in Louisiana, oh, we take everybody's temperature. Look, I don't want to go to church that bad. I don't want somebody taking my temperature at the door before I go into a church service. Stop already, please. Don't be ridiculous. I'm not that desperate to go into a building. You can worship God anywhere. And I would run for my life from Rodney Howard Brown and from this Tony Spell guy and anybody else that thought that they could be defiant in the face of this thing to say, we're going to have our church service anyway, and we're going to put other people in harm's way because we don't believe that anything can happen to our people. When it does happen, Rodney Howard Brown's daughter, who was a beautiful young girl, a very sweet child, she was born with cystic fibrosis. There was no prayer in the world that could save her. She died when she was 18. She died of cystic fibrosis. He knows what it is. He knows what sickness is, and so does his wife. They know what it is. They know what it is to lose a loved one to a sickness. And then, just to prove a point, he does something as stupid as this. When his own daughter didn't get the healing on earth, of course, when you die, you get healed. That's it. That's the ultimate healing. So, but she didn't get the kind of healing, and I'm sure he had all the great healing ministries lay hands on her and all the prayers, I'm sure they prayed for her. So he knows what it is. But yet, you know, he's got to do what he wants to do. And he doesn't care about you as long as he can have his church service and leave his church open. Well, we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens. But these kind of people don't go to their churches. They are not, these are fleecing centers. These are not places where the shepherd, a good shepherd, cares about his sheep. And these people are wolves. And it's only going to get worse as time goes on, because I'm going to play some chapters from Revelation, and it says I think it was either Revelation 6 or 7, or maybe 8, but it says that the first woe is come. But after the first woe, two woes come. So we don't know. We don't know what's going to happen in the days ahead. I believe Jesus is a healer. I believe in miracles. I do. But I have been to a cancer hospital. I've known many friends that have died of cancer. And they love God. And they believe God for their healing. But most of them were already resigned to the fact that whether I live or die, to God be the glory. Anybody that's been sick with something knows it's hard. But to deliberately try to put people in danger and to deliberately expose yourself to something, it's unbelievable. But expect to see any kind of a thing happen in these days, the days that are ahead of us, because truly the false prophets will abound and deceive many. Jesus said many false prophets are gone out into the world, and they've gone out to deceive people. And I don't care how many people you're feeding over there, because Rodney says, oh, we feed 900 families. I don't know if he's getting the food from the food bank, and then they distribute the food, or I don't know if his church actually pays for the food. I don't know that. I haven't done enough research into that. But I know that, for a fact, a friend of mine in New York, he helps with a food bank, and the food is distributed by a group that trucks the food in, and they buy the food, they pay for the food, and they just look for people, churches and organizations, to distribute the food. So the food is dropped off at the church, they unload it, and they put it in refrigerators, and then they have a time when people can come and pick the food up. So they're not buying the food. A lot of these churches say we're feeding people, but they're not feeding anybody, really. They're distributing the food, but they're not buying the food out of the church, out of the tithes and offerings. Now, I don't know if that's the case with Rodney. I just know that in this instance, it was the case. So if some of these churches say we're feeding the poor, ask them if they're actually buying the food. Are you actually buying the food? I don't know. Let's listen to this clip.
About Pastor Rodney Howard Brown's arrest. After the megachurch pastor was arrested for holding church services during a stay-at-home order, the county decided to recognize religious organizations as essential. Stay tuned to find out more.
In his new book, Saving
30th, Florida megachurch pastor Rodney Howard Brown was arrested for holding church services during a stay-at-home order. Liberty Council took up the pastor's cause and said the services were protected under exemptions to the order. After the arrest, Hillsborough County, where Howard Brown's church is, decided to recognize churches as essential and thus allowed them to meet. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis issued a statewide stay-at-home order the same week and then amended it for the same reason: to allow people to attend religious services in churches, synagogues, and houses of worship. The order now recognizes these services as essential activities. Mayor Jane Castor wanted to impose the 10-person and 6-foot social distancing restriction on church services, but the Hillsborough County Council voted against her recommendation. Liberty Council says it was hours away from filing a federal lawsuit against Hillsborough County. For now, they say, it will be postponed. Liberty Council also alleges that Sheriff Chad Chronister made false statements about Howard Brown the week of his arrest. They say the statements put Howard Brown and his church in physical harm because they received death threats afterward. Liberty Council founder Matt Staver says this: "We are pleased that the river at Tampa Bay Church can meet. This church is essential to the community. The church feeds 900 families each week and goes to certain places in the inner city where law enforcement do not go. The Hillsborough County order was unconstitutional. The county knew the lawsuit was coming this week and knew they would not win. We are also pleased that every church in Florida is now free to worship. Pastor Rodney Howard Brown brought worldwide attention to an unconstitutional order and arrest," end quote. Read the full statement from Liberty Council at charismanews.com. Tune in next time.
Yeah, Charisma Magazine's as nutty as Rodney Howard Brown is. Give me a break. Please stop it already. That's okay. Do what you want. The church is not a building, number one. We are the church. We are the church. It's not a building. That's nice. People go to a building. I've been to many church services in my life. I've been saved since 1981. It's almost 40 years. And I've been to many, 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 many church services in my lifetime. And I had a great time in most of them. Enjoyed myself. But I can be at home and enjoy myself too. And I'm staying home. I'm not going to any church service to expose myself to other people and risk getting sick. I don't like being sick. I don't think anybody likes being sick. I definitely don't want this thing. That's for sure. So I know God protects us, but he doesn't protect our stupidity either. And they find the Liberty Council, oh, because of Hillsborough County and the Florida governor decided to let them meet if they want to meet. Go ahead, meet. Do what you want. Knock yourself out. And fine. They got their First Amendment rights back. Oh, and so for now, they're not going to file a lawsuit. But I guarantee you there's a lawsuit coming. Oh, I guarantee you, because they Rodney Howard Brown likes the press. He likes the press coverage. He brought something to people's attention. Whether they let us meet or not, nobody's going to take Jesus away from me. Whether I go to a building or I don't go to a building, I can worship God in my house. I can worship God in my car. I can worship God when I'm walking. I can fellowship with other believers over the telephone. I can fellowship with other believers on my radio broadcast, which I do, which I fellowship with believers from all over the world, right here from my home. We worship God, we have fellowship, we encourage one another, and so I don't have to go to a building to go to church and expose myself to a pandemic, and that's just ridiculous. That's fine. I want my First Amendment rights just like anybody else, but I'm not going to be stupid either. And like I said, even if they take our First Amendment right away from us, it's not going to change anything. I'm still going to preach the gospel, whether they take me off radio, whether they won't let me have a Bible, whatever. I'm still going to preach the gospel no matter what. Nobody's going to stop me. And there isn't anybody that can stop you from preaching the gospel. There's nobody that can stop you from praying. Sometimes they make a big deal about people, oh, they can't pray here and they can't pray there. Who's going to stop you from praying? You mean that if you're standing somewhere in a public place and you start praying, that you're going to get arrested for praying? I don't think so. Who's going to stop you from praying? It's just ridiculous. They talk about don't fear, but there's... This group of people, they're the biggest fear mongers going. Rodney Howard Brown says, oh, you better, you know, this tyrannical government or whatever. Yeah, the tyrannical government that if you weren't here in this country, he came from South Africa and he came over here to be a citizen because he likes the lifestyle here, obviously. Otherwise, he'd go back to South Africa. The tyrannical government that gave you let you have an over $1 million home tax-free and your church property's tax-free. I don't know if you have 65 acres over there or whatever. The tyrannical government that let you get rich. So, please. Stop your complaining and your whining and your crying. You're here now. If you don't like it, leave. That's my message. Leave. Okay, that's enough about Rodney. It gets me all worked up. Okay. I wanted to play this clip. I thought this was an interesting news story that came out a couple of days ago from a reporter from the OAN network. And it's on, I guess it's on cable. It's on a few, I know I get it on my satellite thing, OAN network. And they're a conservative news broadcast. And so there was a reporter, President Trump was having a press conference in the Rose Garden, and one of their reporters asked a question about abortion, which I thought was a great question, because never in my life have I heard a reporter ask that type of question to a president of the United States. And she was very brave asking this question. And of course, President Trump did dodge the issue. She asked why people weren't making a big deal out of all the babies that are killed every day from abortion. And of course, we're not gonna make light of this coronavirus, but yet people don't really compare the two. As far as, of course, there's many people suffering from this virus, but there's far more children being murdered in their mother's womb every day. So I thought it was a great question and a very brave question. So thank God for the OAN network. I'm pull this clip up, so just bear with me. The internet has slowed down a little bit, in case you haven't noticed, right? It slowed down. So you don't always get everything when you click. Sometimes you have to click like several times and then it hangs like forever. But since this pandemic, because everybody's home now, there's so many more people on the internet. And of course, the kids are home too. They're not at school. And so, anyway, here it is. I'm going to play this. This is a great question to the president.
Hello, I'm Trace Allen Cook, here to tell you what God's going to do in 2020.
Oh, that's not
2020 is a time where God's going to...
OAN, please, OAN.
About 405 Americans have died from coronavirus in the last 60 days.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, you have 2,369 children who are killed by their mothers through elective abortions each day. That's 16,500 children killed every week.
Yeah.
Two states have suspended elective abortion to make more resources available for coronavirus cases. That's Texas and Ohio. Do you agree with states who are placing coronavirus victims above elective abortions, and should more states be doing the same?
Well, I think what we're doing is we're trying to, as a group, governors, and that's Republicans and Democrats, we're just working together to solve this problem. That's been what you're mentioning has been going on for a long time, and it's a sad event, a lot of sad events in this country. But what we're doing is now we're working on the virus, we're working on that hidden enemy, and I think we're doing a great job on as good a job as you can possibly do. When Tony and Deborah came up with numbers yesterday to say that if we did nothing, you could lose 2.2, up to 2.2, maybe beyond, that would be beyond, but 2.2 million people if we did nothing. And I can't tell you what the unfortunate final toll is going to be, but it's going to be a very small fraction of that. So we're doing an awfully good job, I think, with what we're doing. Please go ahead.
So as you can see, he totally avoided the answering the question, but I just thought that was a great question that I have never heard a reporter ask a president. And my prayer is that he doesn't forget that question, that it comes up into his mind and he remembers it, because it's so true. There's so many babies that die every day from abortion, and people don't make such a big deal out of it. And I'm not saying that this coronavirus isn't a big deal. It is. It's an absolute tragedy. But the comparison to the fact that there's babies, the innocents are dying every day, and it doesn't make the news every day. And we don't really do enough to try to stop it. So that was a great question, but he did dodge that answer. Definitely. But anyway, let's play these scriptures from Revelation, because if there's a book in the Bible that we need to really be reading right now, it's the book of Revelation. It's so eye-opening, and we need to really take it to heart to get through these times that we're in, and to try to understand the times, and to try to understand what's going to happen. And we can't stop it, people. We cannot stop Bible prophecy. It's painful. It's painful for all of us. But we're going to go through some things. And Jesus said, it was one of his promises that a lot of these false prophets and prosperity teachers don't like to talk about, that Jesus said, "We in this world we will have tribulation." And we're having it. We're having it in a very small dose, really. But read the book of Revelation. Spend some time there, because I think it will really help you to try to get through these times. And we need to really depend on the Lord now, and to get the counsel of the Lord about what we should do and how we should proceed from here. What to separate ourselves from, most importantly, and to separate ourselves from pastors that don't love us, and from churches that don't love us and don't care for us. It's really going to be a time of great separation, where we say we don't have to be hateful towards these people. Please don't do that. Don't be hateful toward Rodney Howard Brown or any of the people that we talk about. We can hate their actions, but to actually hate the people, no, we don't want to do that. We can hate what they're doing and talk about what they're doing and rebuke them sharply, like the Bible says, because that's what the scripture says. Rebuke them sharply, sharply. And iron sharpens iron. Also, faithful are the wounds of a friend. So we only say these things to maybe hopefully wake people up, and maybe wake some of these people up. Like, what are you doing? And what are you saying? Because if these people really cared about their church, and they really cared about the people in the church, then they would quit manipulating them for their own means. They would quit collecting tithes, and they would quit collecting seed faith offerings. They would quit bringing in false prophets and false teachers into their church. They would do anything. Jesus said that we should lay our lives down for other people. We don't do things just for ourselves. We have to think about what our actions mean for other people. So the churches that don't really care about people, that we need to separate ourselves from that and take a stand for righteousness. No, we're not going to put up with that anymore. We're not putting up with the lies. We're not putting up with the manipulation. The times we're living in are too devastating. And we have to be strong in the Lord, all of us on our own. You have to be strong in the Lord. Nobody else can be strong in the Lord for you. We can have our friends, and we can get counsel from our friends, and we can have fellowship with our friends, but ultimately, it's you and the Lord. And you get your strength from the Lord. So anyway, here's Revelation 6 and 7. I might take a few minutes here to start up. I'm not hearing anything. I don't think it's playing. Anyway, let me play. Let me play Revelation 8.
Chapter 9. And the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit, and he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit as the smoke of a great furnace, and the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit, and there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth, and unto them was given power, as the scorpions of the earth have power. And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. And to them it was given that they should not kill them, but that they should be tormented 5 months. And their torment was as the torment of a scorpion when he striketh a man. And in those days men seek death and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. And the shapes of the locusts were like unto horses prepared unto battle, and on their heads were as it were crowns like gold, and their faces were as the faces of men, and they had hair as the hair of women, and their teeth were as the teeth of lions, and they had breastplates as it were breastplates of iron, and the sound of their wings was as the sound of chariots of many horses running to battle. And they had tails like unto scorpions, and there were stings in their tails, and their power was to hurt men 5 months. And they had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon, but in the Greek tongue hath his name Apollyon. One woe is past, and behold, there come two woes more hereafter. And the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar which is before God, saying to the sixth angel which had the trumpet, Loose the four angels which are bound in the great river Euphrates. And the four angels were loosed, which were prepared for an hour and a day and a month and a year, but to slay the third part of men. And the number of the army of the horsemen were 200,000,000, and I heard the number of them. And thus I saw the horses in the vision, and them that sat on them, having breastplates of fire, and of jacinth, and brimstone. And the heads of the horses were as the heads of lions, and out of their mouths issued fire, and smoke, and brimstone. By these three was the third part of men killed, by the fire, and by the smoke, and by the brimstone which issued out of their mouths. For their power is in their mouths, and in their tails. For their tails were like unto serpents, and had heads, and with them they do hurt. And the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues, yet repented not of the works of their hands, that they should not worship devils and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and of wood, which neither can see nor hear nor walk, neither repented they of their murders, nor of their sorceries, nor of their fornication, nor of their thefts.
That's very, very sobering. They'll be crying to die, but they won't be able to die. Yet they repented not of their murders and their sorceries. They repented not. And it's sorcery. It's a form of witchcraft to be manipulated by a so-called Christian. It is a form of sorcery. But yet they repented not. I wanted to mention this because I did, I'm not going to talk about it for too long, but the Stephen Strang from Charisma Magazine, I guess most of us are probably familiar with Charisma Magazine, but it's one of the biggest proponents of false teachers. They do a terrible job with their reporting. Obviously, when I read this story this morning, when I saw that there was a story on Charisma News about Carl Strader dying, and at one time he was the pastor of Carpenter's Home Church, which was in Lakeland, Florida. And I think it was an Assembly of God church at one time. I don't know if he stayed with the Assembly of God or not, but anyway, it was a church building that could seat somewhere between 6,000 and 9,000 people. It was huge, a huge building. And anyway, they could never sustain it. It was hard to keep open. I've been there many times to concerts and things that they had there, and they had some great events there, I must say. But he did have Rodney Howard Brown there. I think he was there for over a month, and he could pack the place out, and he did. But anyway, with all the glowing prophecies and everything that Rodney told the people there about what was going to happen to this church and how great it was going to be, blah, blah, eventually it was bulldozed. And you can see the video. I have videos on my YouTube channel, Susan Puzio, and I have the videos, especially after Randy and Paula White bought the property and the church from Carl Strader. I'm not sure what year, might have been 2007, something like that. I'm not exactly sure when they purchased it, but anyway, they purchased this massive building along with about 70 acres of property there. It's a beautiful property. And they couldn't sustain it. I went there personally after the electric was turned off because they didn't pay their electric bill. In 2011, the electric bill was turned off because they didn't pay their electric bill. There was a big sign on there, and you can see the picture of the sign if you're on my channel there on Blog Talk Radio, and the pictures are going by. You can see the vacate sign. They're telling people that they can't come into the building anymore because there's no electricity. And it was basically condemned or whatever by the county, because you can't have a church gathering without electricity, without air conditioning, especially in Florida. But the big two proponents of the prosperity gospel and, oh, give me some money and God will bless you, Paula White and Randy White couldn't pay their electric bill, even though, according to the bankruptcy filing that Randy filed, and I saw the bankruptcy papers, anybody could see them, they're online, and he was still paying himself $150,000 a year, even though they didn't pay the electric bill at the church, and they left the property. You can, if you go to YouTube and you put in Carpenter's Home Church, Lakeland, Florida, it'll bring up some videos also. There's one called Destruction of a Church. And you can see the church building before, and then you'll see pictures of how Randy and Paula White left it. It was vandalized for 3 years, and it was destroyed, basically, from their neglect. And you can see that video, Destruction of a Church, on YouTube, and you'll see the church, how it once was, and then it goes inside and it shows you all the devastation, and then it shows you the church being bulldozed. That's Randy and Paula White. That's what they left behind. But anyway, Stephen Strang, then, he's reporting on the death of Carl Strader. Now, after I read this, I said to myself, Stephen Strang, you are a liar. You are a bold-faced liar. I think they're in Lake Mary, which is near Orlando, but he knew the Straders. He knew Carpenter's Home Church. Well, I guess the reason why he doesn't want to say anything against Paula White is because she's the so-called spiritual advisor of the president. Maybe he won't get to hang around Trump anymore. But to print a bold-faced lie like this, now, this is what he says in Charisma Magazine. In 2007, the church building, now he's talking about Carpenter's Home Church in Lakeland. In 2007, okay, it was sold in 2007. The church building was sold to Without Walls Church in Tampa, pastored by Randy and Paula White. They planted a branch of their church that, while successful, he says it was successful. Stephen Strang of Charisma Magazine, while successful, couldn't sustain the huge facility. After sitting empty a few years and deteriorating, the huge sanctuary was demolished to make way for another development on the prime property. Yeah, it was foreclosed because they didn't pay the mortgage either. But it was successful, Stephen Strang said. No, it was not successful. You're a liar, and you know that it wasn't successful. I don't know who told you that, Whopper, but even if Paul or Randy told you, oh, yeah, it was a great success, why didn't they pay their electric bill if it was so successful? That is a bold-faced lie. That's the lousiest piece of journalism. I think he calls himself a journalist. That's the lousiest piece of journalism I've seen in a long time. I mean, talk about fake news. Fake news charisma. You can't tell the truth about Paula White. It was not successful. They left pianos in the building that they could have sold or taken out to mold, and clothing and food and all kinds of things that they can talk about. We love the poor. I was there. I went to the building several times. I made some videos and I took pictures. I saw some of the devastation for myself. And I was also there one day when I met a man that had hundreds of pictures of the inside of the churches, communion trays, hundreds of communion trays just thrown all over the place. They didn't care about anything. All they cared about was themselves, Randy and Paula White. So, presidential spiritual advisor, please give me a break. Another stupid thing that you can't believe. But anyway, that's Charisma Magazine. Don't bother reading Charisma because you can't believe anything they're saying. You can't believe him. He needs to repent. But I just wanted to bring that up because I couldn't believe it. So I don't live too far away from there. And when I heard that the electricity was turned off, I drove over there several times from the time it was, the electricity was turned off to the time it was bulldozed to make videos and to report on the story myself. I was also there the day in Tampa that their other church building was bulldozed. So that was the end of everything that they built on sinking sand when it was all bulldozed. It doesn't even exist anymore. And so that's God. That's God. When God judges you, it's over. Okay, she's managed to rehabilitate herself somehow. I don't know how. But Randy, he's rehabilitated himself somewhat for the fact that he still calls himself a pastor and he still has a church. So it's not a big church, it's a small church, but he's still at it. Still at it. So I wanted to do some comparisons here. I had listened to a couple of these false prophets, and this one that I want to mention, we don't have a lot more time, about 20 minutes, but this one false prophet, Tracy Cook, there's a whole video of so-called prophets and prophetesses from, they were all prophesying about 2020. Well, notably, none of them prophesied this virus pandemic. None of them did, but a lot of them were prophesying about the great breakthroughs that people were going to get and how people were going to come into their destiny. I'll just play a minute or two of this Cindy Jacobs. This one's hysterical.
I'm Dr. Cindy Jacobs. I just wanted to give you a little of what God has been saying about the word of the Lord for 2020. We just had a meeting recently here in Dallas, Texas, with prophets from 42 nations. And so, you know, there's so much that was said, but let me give you a short synopsis of some things that will be a great blessing to you this coming year. One is that it's the year of the voice. Second Chronicles 20:20 says, believe the prophets and you'll prosper. So we can see that God is moving us into a new prophetic season where our voice is going to be heard. Many of you have not felt heard or you have not felt understood, but I feel like the Lord is saying, this is the time to let your voice be heard. The second, which is very exciting, is the word reset. When you reset something, it goes back to the original functionality. And not only reset, but we see the word restitution. That God is going to give us restitution in ways man could never do. Restitution in the area of relationships, maybe broken relationships. Restitution of finances we have lost. Restitution for in our generations, family inheritance we didn't receive. Or maybe our family themselves did not come up to their full potential, but in our generation, we are going to see a restoration of gifts, abilities, finances, greater than anything that could have happened in the past. So I want you to stand and believe. It's important to decree. It's important to say, yes, I want that restitution. I want that restoration. Make a list of those things. And so this is a year for your voice being heard in heaven and earth. And this is a year also for God setting the reset button to bring you to your destiny, to give you restoration for things lost as well as restitution. God bless you.
Oh, please. Now she's calling herself a doctor. I don't know if she actually has an earned degree. That's a new one. Dr. Cindy Jacobs. Dr. Cindy. Well, yeah, most people right now are not concerned about their destiny when they're just trying to figure out how they're going to pay their bills in the next few weeks. There was no great breakthrough. There's a lot of wailing going on right now. I can guarantee you that. So much for Cindy Jacobs. It's not such a big deal. Anyway, I don't know why people make such a big deal about your destiny. It's like, what is your destiny except to preach the gospel, to be good to people, to raise your family, and to worship God? I don't understand this whole destiny thing. Like, what are they looking for? Some kind of affirmation from people? Forget about getting affirmation from people. Get your affirmation from God, because people will love you one day and then the next day they might not love you. So, anyway, let's listen to this guy. This guy is a hoot. This guy, Tracy Cook.
Hello, I'm Tracy Allen Cook, here to tell you what God's going to do in 2020. 2020 is a time where God's going to deal with the landscape of the church, the broken vows of the glory. Samson is a type of the strength that the church has entered into, but has lost the foresight of understanding who Christ is. So in 2020, you're going to start seeing numerous things take place. God's going to cause us to expedite time. Some of you that have gone through things in your life and feel like, why is there such a delay in my life, and so my promises are delayed, or the prophetic words are you're in ministry or what have you. And God told me in 2020, we're going to see him expedite prophecy, dreams, visions, what you've been God for the last several years that took so long. And it goes back to Samson. The church has started out with great strength. We got into a place where we had broken our vows. So I call it the broken vows of the glory, where God in 2020 is going to go back to a place, bring us back to a place where we're going to have true repentance. We're going to walk back into a place of true holiness, true repentance. We're going to get our attention back on God and get away from man. He's the sender of our lives to begin with. So you're going to start seeing some of this in 2020. Now, God's going to deal with the landscape of the church in 2020. It's going to begin to unravel the grounds that you walk on, and you're going to start seeing a lot. Everything that can be shaken will be shaken in the next 4 months in 2020. So you're going to start seeing that in 2020. But I encourage you as a prophetic voice also that, remember, it's going to expedite your prophecies, your visions, your dreams, your desires. You're going to step out the carnal realm. You're going to step into the spiritual realm. You're going to come out of that place of defeat into victory. You're going to start simply means that going to be broken veterans. You're going to see God bring you out of a place of defeat or load a bar of depression to a place of victory. And even though this is just a short prophetically, 2020 is a time. 2020 is not perfect vision. Perfect vision is 2010. 2020 means the hindsight. In other words, blind spots that you've not been able to see, God's going to let you see it clear. He's going to bring clarification.
Yeah, well, we're going to see if God's going to let him see his blind spots. Okay, the prophecy goes on and on about, oh, the church is going to repent. We're going to turn from our ways and our wicked ways, blah, blah. But here, this is what this guy is really all about, because he was over there at Pastor Maldonado's church, where he's a fleecer, and he had Paula White at his church, and she collected at his conference, and she collected $1,000 from 1,000 people, she said. Now, this guy, Tracy Cook, he told 12 people they were supposed to give $1 million. Well, here you hear his prophecy, right? Oh, he sounds like he's gonna. But then he goes over there to Maldonado's, and you can see the video also on YouTube. Well, here's Maldonado introducing him as a man of integrity. This is a joke. What's happening to some of my videos here? Okay, my audio.
In the short time that I met him, I have seen how powerful prophet he is.
En el poco tiempo que lo conozco, he visto
and
que
especially
tan poderoso es,
his
profeta.
Character, his
especial,
humility,
mente, su carácter, su humildad,
his love,
su amor,
his fear of God,
su temor de Dios.
So he's here with us tonight.
Él está aquí con nosotros
and
en
I would
esta
say
noche.
He's one of the prophets like prophet Glenda.
Yo diría que es profeta como profeta Glenda.
The gift of the prophetic mantle very strong,
que tienen el manto profético
but also
muy fuerte,
they have the character.
Pero también tienen el carácter.
Muchas veces hemos traído profetas y nos ha ido muy mal.
In the past we've brought some prophets and it's not gone well at all.
Tienen un don extraordinario.
They have an extraordinary gift.
Pero su carácter no está donde está su don.
But their character is not at the level
profetizan
of their gifting.
Muy exacto.
They prophesy very exactly.
Pero después,
but then later,
su carácter deja mucho que desear.
Their character leaves much to be desired.
En esta noche,
tonight,
estoy muy confiado, muy, muy contento, muy feliz.
I feel very happy, very
presentarlo.
Sure to present him.
Prophet Glenda, thank you for connecting him.
Gracias,
him with me.
Profeta Glenda, por conectarme con él.
So let's receive Prophet Tracy.
Recibamos ahora al profeta Tracy.
So yo quiero que usted lo recibamos. La Biblia dice que recibimos un profeta.
Let's receive a prophet.
Una recompensa de profeta.
And if we do, we'll have a prophet's reward.
We're going to shift. We're going to downshift. Is that all right?
Vamos entonces abajo. Fin de semana.
Being with this man of God.
Estad.
His care.
Su cuidado.
And his love for God's people.
Y su amor por el
beyond
pueblo
his tarda.
Y Eliseo.
Number one, they went to Gilgal.
Primero fueron a Gilgal.
That means the turning point.
Significa el lugar donde la cosa da vuelta, gira.
You got to make up your mind.
Usted tiene que determinar la mente.
Get out of head reason.
Que se va a salir de la
razón.
Y usted va a empezar a creer en su corazón.
Whenever there's a challenge.
Siempre que hay un reto.
In our giving.
En nuestro dar.
It produces.
Eso produce.
A champion.
Un campeón.
God is ready.
Dios está listo.
To bring us.
Para traernos.
To a place of financial breakthrough.
A un lugar de rompimiento financiero.
I was in Orlando.
Estaba yo en Orlando.
One of Mark Sharona's members.
Y cuando uno de los miembros de la iglesia de Mark Sharona.
I prophesied in 21 days.
Yo profeticé en 21 días.
He would be a millionaire.
Iba a ser millonario.
On the 18th day.
En el día número 18.
A man hand him $1 million check.
Un hombre a él le entrega un cheque de
un
millón de
dólares. While he was serving.
Cuando él estaba sirviendo.
Opened the door.
Le abrió la puerta al hombre.
Let somebody say you're serving.
Mire a alguien, diga de tu servicio.
In private.
Es lo que.
To promote you.
Lo que Dios va a usar para promoverte públicamente cuando sirve. Lo que sea que hagas. En lo secreto.
God reward you all.
Dios te va a recompensar abiertamente.
Gilgal.
En Gilgal.
They went to Gilgal.
Fueron a Gilgal.
The turning point.
El lugar donde la cosa giró.
You got to make up your mind.
Usted tiene que determinar
don't
su mente.
Don't second guess.
Ya no se ponga a dudar.
Move on that seed.
Muévase con
it's
esa semilla.
First fruit.
Que es una primicia.
Opportunity.
Una oportunidad.
That will never come again.
Que jamás va a regresar.
In the year.
En el año.
So when you offer this first fruit,
así que cuando usted le ofrece esa primicia,
you're introducing a seed.
Usted está introduciendo
that's
una semilla.
A sacrifice.
Que es un sacrificio.
Brother R.W. Shambach.
Brother, el hermano R.W.
Taught me this.
Me enseñó a mí esto.
There's the man of integrity that the pastor introduced. Oh, he's got a good character. Yeah, he's got an excellent character because he came into your so-called church over there and fleeced your people. You love fleecing the flock over there, Mr. Maldonado. That's one of your favorite things to do. And then you bring this, I mean, this guy is like really creepy. This Tracy Cook. Here he is now. Here's his word from the Lord.
Los poseídos del futuro.
They go down to Bethel.
Fueron ellos a Betel.
They get the vision.
Tuvieron la visión.
Elijah is a type of the apostle.
Y Eliseo es Elías es tipo del apóstol.
The fifth man.
Del quinto hombre.
So when you sit under the fifth man,
cuando usted se sienta bajo el quinto
it
hombre,
automatically
usted es una cosa
brings you to financial prosperity.
Que automáticamente le trae a una prosperidad
somebody
financiera.
Say hallelujah.
Que alguien diga aleluya.
Debt cancellation.
Cancelación de deudas.
Houses are being released.
Casas que son desatadas.
Businesses are being released.
Negocios son desatados.
Entrepreneurship.
Emprendedores.
The millionaire's blessing.
Una bendición de millonarios.
Without a vision,
sin visión,
my people perish.
Mi pueblo perece.
One translation said they cast off their restraint.
Otra traducción dice que se vuelven locos, no, nada los restringe.
They have no revelatory insight.
Porque no tienen perspicacia de revelación.
But with a vision,
pero con una visión,
then we are responsible.
Entonces somos responsables.
As members,
como miembros,
to help advance.
Que ayudamos a avanzar
the vision.
La visión.
God don't got a problem.
Dios no tiene problema.
Getting money to you.
Dándole a usted dinero.
Can he get it through you?
Pero podrá él dárselo a través de usted.
Come on, somebody.
Escuche.
So they go to Bethel.
Entonces ellos fueron a Betel.
The place of bread.
Aquel lugar del
pan. The place of vision.
Aquel lugar de visión.
Because you got to know where you're going in 21st century.
Porque usted tiene que saber hacia dónde va en el siglo 21. En esta casa,
there's a vision
que hay visión
that's already been presented.
Que ya ha sido presentada.
Now it's time.
Ahora es tiempo.
For financial warriors
para que los guerreros financieros
to rise to the occasion.
Se levanten al reto.
Come on, I'm just telling what the angel told me in the hotel.
Le digo solamente lo que dijo el ángel allá en el hotel.
Come on.
Vamos.
I'm telling what the angel spoke to me. This morning,
le digo
after
usted,
we arrived,
lo que el ángel me dijo a mí cuando llegué
I went into
mañana,
prayer and the angel
fui a orar y un
took me into a dream. Now,
me
God
llevó a un sueño.
To me in dreams,
él me habla en
more
sueños,
than anything else.
Más que otra cosa.
And he says, son of man,
me dijo, hijo de hombre,
when you go tonight
cuando vayas en esta
and
noche,
open your mouth
y abras la boca,
tell them what I show you.
Dile a ellos lo que te mostré.
I saw 12 baskets
vi 12 cestos
of fruits.
De frutas.
As big as you can imagine.
Tan grande como usted
and
se
they
imagine.
Were overrunning the baskets.
Y estaban saliendo, ya saliéndose de las canastas.
God said to me.
Y Dios me dijo.
There'll be 12 millionaires.
Habrán 12 millonarios.
That will plant.
Que van a sembrar.
$1 million.
Un millón de dólares.
Into the vision.
A la visión.
I'm telling you my dream.
Le digo mi sueño cuál fue.
This morning.
En esta mañana.
And I know.
Y yo sé.
110%.
110%.
12.
12
millionaires
millonarios
are gonna sow
van a sembrar
$1 million seed.
Un millón de dólares como semilla.
I don't say anything
yo no digo nada
that he don't say.
Que él a mí no me diga.
I fear his presence.
Yo tengo temor de su presencia.
I fear him.
Yo lo temo a él.
And I know his voice.
Y conozco su voz.
God is gonna challenge us tonight.
Dios nos va a retar en esta noche.
The step.
Para tomar el paso.
In a realm we've never been.
A un ámbito en el que
in
nunca
giving,
hemos estado en el dar.
Financially,
en lo financiero.
To support this great work.
Para hasta apoyar
this
la gran
reach
obra.
Of untold millions.
Que está alcanzando
around
muchos,
the world.
Millones en el mundo.
With the gospel of Jesus.
Con el evangelio de Jesús.
For the very first time again.
Por primera vez.
in the airwaves where it has never been done before.
Donde nunca se ha hecho antes.
And the angel,
y el angel
touched all 12 of those pastors.
Tocó las 12 canastas.
And to tell them,
me dijo, diles,
believe my word.
Crean mi palabra.
Believe my prophet.
Crean mi profeta.
I'll fulfill it this year.
Yo lo cumplo este
before
año.
This year closes out.
Antes de que termine este año.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Yeah. The angel told them. The angel that came to this hotel room told them. Yeah, the angel of light, the devil told you. That's who told you. That's who told you. It was a devil, because it sure wasn't the God I know. You have some funny God over there, that's for sure. Anyway, it's all about the money. I guess this wasn't too long ago that this guy was there at Maldonado's church. Oh, obviously, he didn't tell them anything about the pandemic that was going to hit and all the people that were going to be unemployed there, and that the church was going to be shut up for a few weeks, that nobody was going to be allowed in the building. They weren't talking about that. No, they're just talking about all the great prosperity that's coming. No, it's not coming. It's not coming. So, and that's not the way to get prosperity either, is to give your money to these false prophets and false teachers and these people that call themselves pastors. The way you get money is you work, you pay your bills, you don't buy things you can't afford, you don't get yourself into debt, and you pray, you ask, and you shall receive. So there's no buying blessings from God. Blessings are free for the asking. Hallelujah. Anyway, that's our show for today. I want to thank everybody for tuning in. And I'm thinking about all of you, thinking about the dear saints and everybody that needs the Lord right now. And if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you say, I don't know how I'm going to get through this. There's no way you can get through this without God. Without God helping you. And Jesus Christ loves you. He loved you enough to give his life for you, to come down to earth from heaven and to die on a cross for your sins, so you wouldn't have to die in your sins. John, the Gospel of John says that must be born again. First you're born of your mother, and then you must be born again of the Spirit of God. Romans 10:10 says that confession is made with the mouth unto salvation. Confess your sins today and ask Jesus Christ to forgive you. No matter what you've done, he will forgive you and give you a brand new life, and he will give you joy and peace that you can't get any other way in the times that we're living in. So, God bless you all. Bye-bye.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Oh, I'm going to a city, it lies four square. The gates are made of jasper, and I'll see Jesus there. I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. And it's set on a hill. And someday
I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. I'm going to a city, it lies four square. The gates are made of jasper, and I'll see Jesus there. I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there.